Book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. This is a great passage of scripture for today. Verse number 1 of chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and empty vessels, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. That's the second time that is referenced in this passage, that she's pouring out. Verse number 6, And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to preach your message, to say what you want said. I must be spiritually minded this morning. I must have your heart, your attention, Lord. I want you to have my attention. I pray that you will speak to hearts, challenge us in the service this morning. Lord, the need is great. Lord, the devil doesn't want this message preached. He doesn't want this service to be successful. Doesn't want souls to be saved. Doesn't want people to be stirred up. Doesn't want mothers to recognize their responsibility and their accountability. I pray that you will help me, Lord, to labor behind the pulpit to preach the word of God. Give us that fresh anointing, Lord, today that makes preaching powerful, challenging, and effective. And Lord, I know, Father, just from testimonies that I'm aware of, Lord, the need is great right here in this service this morning, not counting those that would be watching, viewing today or even in the future of this service via live stream. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus today that you'll calm my nerves, that you'll help me, Lord, to be able to think clearly. Because if I don't think it, I won't be able to say it. So I pray now that your will would be done. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll notice in this passage of Scripture, and here's what I want to preach on. Verse number 6 is where our thought is going to be taken from. Of course, we're going to be looking at these verses. But when the mother was pouring out the oil into the empty vessels that they had borrowed from all of the neighbors, and the Bible said that she asked for another vessel, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. There is not a vessel more. He's telling this mother who's leading this whole thing, there's no more vessels to fill. And if I could today, I want to preach to the mothers, to all of us actually, but specifically to the mothers. I want to preach on not another vessel mother. Mothers who can say, we don't have any other vessels to fill. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my life. I've taken advantage of every opportunity. Amen. And there's no more vessels left. Boy, wouldn't that be something good for us to all to be able to testify about? that we could come in our life and we could say even today, not another vessel. I've filled all of the vessels. I've done everything that God wants me to do right at this point. And I want to finish my life to where I can say, not another vessel, not a vessel more. Amen. We need some moms that can say that. We need some mothers that can say that. I want to point out, first of all, this morning, her dilemma. I want you to note her dilemma that's shown us in verse number 1. It said, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, now listen to her dilemma, listen to her situation, listen to her circumstance. She said, thy servant, my husband, is dead. The one that she had been depending on, the one that no doubt had been the provider, is now gone. That empty place in her home can never be replaced. And the Bible said here that he's dead. That leaves her as a widow. That's leaving her as a single parent. That's leaving her with all the responsibilities of the house and of her two sons. And she was used to him helping out and the daddy leading the way and all of that. But yet here we find something that she never would have wanted, never would have asked for, happened. Her husband died. And she's a mother in this passage. Her being a wife has now been affected, but she made sure that it did not affect her motherhood. She knew that her two sons were still alive. Her two sons needed a spiritual mother. Even though she was going through a tragedy, she was going through a heartache, she was going through a bereavement and dealing with a bereavement that was probably beyond description. I've never tasted that. I've never went through that. Hope I never do. Amen. Amen. But they tell me that it's literally part of you dies when your mate dies. And so we know that this lady has got grief beyond description to deal with. But yet we find that she refused to step away from her motherhood because of the mess that's going on in her life. So we look at her spouse and we can tell there is needs there. And her spouse was a Christian. Or, if that could be put in the New Testament, he would have been a Christian. I know that wasn't the term used in the Old Testament. But this man was a spiritual man. Look what she said about him. She said this about her husband that is dead. She said, thy servant. Thy servant, my husband. Notice there, she's talking to Elisha, the man of God, and she says to him, before she ever mentions the spousalship, she mentioned his servitude, his servanthood. She recognized he was a servant before that he was her spouse. Amen. Ladies, if I could mention this to you this morning, if you've got a godly mate, if your husband is a godly man, or as this Bible calls a servant of the Lord, someone involved in the work of God, you have got a treasure. You need to encourage that. Are they perfect? Are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're not perfect, but I'll tell you, commendation goes a long way. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to get on that. I better get off that. We'll be preaching all day on that. Amen. But the servant, she identified the fact that her husband was a spiritual man. Her husband was a serving man. Her husband was known by this great prophet Elisha. She even used this terminology, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. She's telling Elisha, you knew my husband. You knew that he feared God and that he was one that feared the Lord. You knew that. Elijah, you can witness to the fact that he was your servant. He served in the ministry with you. He was one of the sons of the prophets. And so we find her dilemma first was about her spouse. Number two, and we could preach more on that, my goodness. And I do want to say one more thing there to the men. You ought to strive to be the spiritual leader in your home. Amen. Can I ask you, Can your wife give a spiritual testimony about you? This lady did. This lady in our text said, my husband was a servant and he feared God. Can you give a testimony about your husband? Amen. Can your children, even though the sons did not comment here, I'm sure they could have gave a testimony about their daddy being a spiritual man, a serving man. Men, we ought to make sure that we are providing the spiritual leadership and the spiritual influence in the home. God always looks at and holds accountable leadership. Amen. And the man is the leader in the house. Amen. And if there's no spirituality about you, then are you going to lead your family in a spiritual direction? Amen. It's going to fall on us. I know this is not Father's Day, but it's coming. But it's going to fall on us if our children goes astray, if our children is not where they need to be. It's predominantly going to be falling on us, Brother Scott, because we have been put in that position in the home. Amen. And of course, it surely would help if there is not only the spiritual leadership of the father and the husband, that there would also be that camaraderie of the wife, that there would be that companionship of the wife. There would be that wife would join in with them as a team. Well, I want to tell you, a home that's got a strong togetherness and a strong direction between the daddy in the home and the mother in the home, I'm telling you, that home's blessed of God. The devil's the author of division. He's the author of decline. He's the author of disinterest. He don't want you as a husband to be the spiritual man in your home. Can your children look up to you and see that you are a servant of the Lord, that you fear the Lord? Amen. Amen, that's right. Can your grandchildren, if you have any, can your grandchildren look at it up to you and know that when they ask you about something spiritual or scriptural, that you're going to do your best to guide them in the direction that they need to go? But not only do we see that she was in a dilemma with her spouse because he's now dead, he's no longer there, that voice is now silent in the home. Amen. Amen. God help us. Boy, there's a lot of preaching to be done right there. Amen. Listen, you say, well, I'll tell you right now, I don't know about him and all that. Listen, when he's gone, that spot's empty and it's all on you, you'll wish he was back. No doubt she wished he was back. Oh, I wish my husband was here to deal with this. I wish my husband was here to fix this. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's some good stuff right there to preach. But not only with her spouse, but her sons. She had a dilemma with her sons. Look, if you will, also in verse number 1. And the creditor, evidently there was some debt involved. And there's some preaching to be done there about daddies ought to make sure that you're financially making some good decisions so that if something did happen to you, that your wife and your children and your family would not be left with an enormous debt and possibly lose everything he got. So there was evidently some debt here for whatever reason. Amen. And that was before Walmart ever came along. There was some debt involved, but watch this. The creditor didn't care what dilemma had hit her home. He didn't care. I tell you what he did. He moved in quickly to want payment. And amen, wanted payment. And you know what the payment was going to be? Your two sons are going to become bondmen to me. That is, I'm going to make slaves out of your two sons. I'm going to make slaves out of them. Wow. Can you see the fix she was in? It looked like it was hopeless, and she probably felt helpless. But I want to tell you the second thing. Not only her dilemma, but secondly, her desperation. Verse number 1 says, and their cry, now their cried a certain woman. That word cried there means to cry aloud for help, crying from a deep need, not knowing how to fix it, not knowing what to do. She wasn't just in a dilemma, but she was desperate. She just lost her husband, and now it looks like she may possibly even lose her two sons to become slave to the creditor. So she's desperate. She's desperate, amen. And if she wasn't desperate, what I'm going to give you in the rest of the story would have never happened. Amen. A lot of people don't go to drastic measures to fix spiritual needs in the home because they're not desperate. If you're okay with your life, if she had been okay with her husband being dead and okay with her sons being slaves or bondmen, she would have never did what the man of God said. So not only see her dilemma and her desperation, but I think this is interesting, her direction. How did she respond to it? You may not choose your circumstance, but you do choose your response to it. Amen. You may not be accountable for what happened or what has happened. It may not have been your fault. You may not have caused it. But I want to tell you, you are responsible. I'm responsible for my reaction, amen, my response to anything and everything that comes in my life, amen. And we've all been on this planet long enough to know that not everything that comes our way is going to be pleasant. Not everything that comes our way is going to be agreeable with us. And sometimes it's going to be an interruption. Sometimes it's going to be an aggravation. Sometimes it's going to be a hurt that is beyond healing. But I'm still responsible in my direction. How am I going to let that move me? How am I going to let that move me? Let's look at what she did. Look at what she did. She sought spiritual direction in her desperation. Look at who she's talking to in verse 1. She comes to Elisha. She comes to God's man. Amen. Oh, yes. She knew that if I'm going to get some help or at least some kind of direction in my life, I need somebody that can get a hold of God, somebody that can tell me what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Oh, she did not let her troubles drive her to the world. Oh, I'm going to preach right there a minute. She did not let her heartache and her hurt drive her to the world. How many people do you know and I know that have gotten out of church through hurts and heartaches? Amen. When death comes, I've seen families get out of church. It just, amen, rearranges everything and gets the whole family out of sorts. And next thing you know, instead of going toward God, they go away from God. Oh, I want to tell you, listen, the greatest thing you can do, Mom, is when heartaches come, headaches come, difficulties come, trials come, is to respond to that spiritually. Because if you respond to it naturally with the natural man, what you're doing is you're training your children that when you have problems, don't seek God, don't seek direction spiritually, don't seek scriptural direction, but go to the world. That's what you're training them to do. You say, but preacher, I'm going to tell them to do differently. That won't even get to first base. If they see you go into the world for your help, and the Bible says, woe be unto them that go to Egypt for help. Egypt's a type of the world. Abraham, when he got in a mess and a famine, guess where he went? He thought, I need to go to Egypt. And he went to Egypt. When Abimelech and Naomi and their family was in a mess and a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi said, we need to go to Moab, type of the world, God's washpot. Nothing good said about it. She said, we're in a famine, we're in a mess, we need to go to Moab. And you know what she did? She went to Moab, and guess what? She buried her husband there, and she buried her two sons there. She regretted till the last day that she lived on this planet that she ever made the decision to go away from God and God's will and to go to the world. Amen. If you think this world is for you, this world will eat your lunch, throw you in the ditch, and never look back. This world, brother, is the seedbed of selfishness. This world, friend, never has good advice. Amen. If you want, listen, moms, when tragedy comes, you need direction. When heartache comes in your home, you need direction. When things come in your kids' life, and they're going to face things, amen, and they're going to look to mom to help them, amen. Be a spiritual mom, a godly mom, a Bible mom. And they're going to be looking to you for help and advice. You need to pray daily. Lord, give me wisdom. If anybody needs wisdom, it's parents. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, I don't know the first thing. Blake's 30, and I still don't know the first thing about parenting. God help. Amen. Amen. And what little I do know, I've got hearing preaching, and I learned from my mom and dad, and I've learned studying the Word of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. But oh my, I see parents on many occasions when tragedy comes and heartache and their back's against the wall and they don't know what to do next. They instead of slowing down and being patient and trying to get somebody in their life with some spiritual advice, some scriptural advice. Amen. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I know you're going through a hard time. I tell you what you need to do, and reach in their pocket and pull out some weed. Here, you need to smoke this. It'll help you. Or give you a certificate that you can go to the gyp joint and buy you all kind of booze, and it'll help numb the hurt. That's not your friend. A friend that will open the pages of God's Word and says, listen, don't listen to your feelings. Don't listen to your emotions when you're going through heartache as this lady. Don't listen to that. Listen to somebody that's on the outside of your situation that can give you scriptural advice, that can point you in a spiritual direction. Amen. Amen. I think that's worth mentioning. Didn't mean to stay on it that long. Amen. How many we've seen in our life go astray? A temptation comes, a trial comes. Next thing you know, they've thrown everything they've got spiritually away. Amen. Throw their morals away. Throw their good sense away. Amen. Daddy always told me, he said, I've taught you enough to educate a mule and you don't have horse sense. I don't know what all that meant, but it didn't sound good. And I didn't argue with Daddy. He saw that it applied, and I just took it. Amen. I've taught you well enough to educate a mule, and you don't have horse sense. Amen. My goodness. May the Lord help us. But look at her direction. Amen. She didn't let her sorrowful and stressful times drive her away from God, but rather drove her in the direction of God. She said, I don't know what to do. I've lost my husband. I may be fixing to lose my children. They're going to become slaves to a bondman. Amen. I don't know what to do. If anybody can help me, surely Elisha can. Elisha, the man of God. I'm going to at least go and at least present my case, present my hurt, present my dilemma to him, and see what God would say to me through him. Amen. Amen. Boy, we can see something right there. The real heart of a man of God that'll preach to you the truth is to help you. She didn't say it in words, but it's in action. That if anybody's going to give me some help, if anybody's going to give me some help, it'll be God's man. Amen. God's man, the preacher. Now, I'm not talking about a hireling. I'm not talking about somebody that's in it for the benefits, and they don't care how you live. They just want to drive the big car. Listen, they're hirelings. Amen. They're in it for the job. They're in it for the notoriety and the promotions. Amen. But not all of us are that way. There are some men of God, I want to tell you, that'll tell you the truth and want to tell you the truth. Why? Because of the heart, Brother Aaron, of a real man of God is to help you. And it hurts the man of God to see when you are going in a direction that's contrary to this. Amen. Well, I'm getting hung up. Y'all may have to come back tonight. Amen. Oh, mercy. She was honest about her situation. She did not exaggerate it, and she didn't belittle it. She was truthful, and she was honest. Help will come when you're honest. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. I want to say one other word about that. Her as a parent teamed up with the preacher. And what a team that is. When parents and preachers can get together, agreeing with God and agreeing with God's word, going in the same direction. Amen. 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 The heartbeat of a parent ought to be when they, if your child goes home and says, "Mom, a preacher got on my case. Preacher got on me for whatever, running in church or whatever the case is." And you know what the parent ought to say? "That's good enough for you. Go over and sit down on the couch and hush." Amen. You know what they're going to see? You know what they're going to know right there? Mom and daddy and the preacher is on the same side. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. But let me just show you this. The man of God asked her. Now listen to this. The man of God asked her a question. Look in verse 2. Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? How can I help you? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" Uh-oh. You know what that means? Uh-oh, the preacher's getting personal. "Preacher, you wanting to help me, but you're inquiring about what do I have in the house?" Usually the problem or the provision is going to be in your house. Amen. It's related somehow, connected with your house. But the man of God, Elisha, said, "What hast thou in thy house?" She didn't get upset. She didn't get mad. She didn't say, "Who do you think you are asking me these personal questions?" Amen. A preacher that don't get nosy in the pulpit every once in a while probably is not getting too personal. We need a preacher to get personal. And if anything will get me in hot water, is that when I'm preaching in a personal direction. I preached the other day in a church, and the people, some of the people, never been in that church before in my life, never been there. This was on the first night. And after the service, several of the people in his church went to him and said, "Preacher, have you been talking to him?" He said, "No. In fact, I'd only met the preacher one time." He said, "No, I haven't been talking." "You sure?" Because he sure sounded like he knew everything that's going on in this church. I love it when the Holy Spirit helps me to get personal. But he said, asked her the question, "What do you have in your house?" Look at what her answer was. And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Do you see that? She said, "All I've got," that's what she meant, "all I've got is just a little pot of oil." It don't call it little, but the way she said it, it's all I've got left. And that word pot there just simply means a small oil jug, a little flask, just very small. Not much to do anything with unless God's hand's on it, unless God has it. Amen? And so he's asked her, "What do you have in your house? What is it that God can use in your house?" Hey, Mom, you're to make sure that you've got something in your house that God can use. Make sure that you are somebody in the home that God can use. Amen. God don't have to have much, but he wants to have, he's got to use something. And she looked at that little pot of oil, and she could have spent her time, talking about how little it is. "Well, what are you asking me about what's in my house? And why are you so concerned about a little pot of oil? My two sons, that's my subject. My husband's dead. My two sons are on the verge of becoming bondmen and slaves because of the debt. And you're asking me about the oil." Are you listening? She could have belittled it. She could have looked at what she had and said, "You know what? I can't do anything for God. This thing can't turn around because what I do have is too little." I've seen people, brother, I believe, they've looked at their little bag like the lad did in John 6. All he had was five loaves and two fishes. And the crowd was thousands that needed to be fed. And he looked at that and he could have belittled that. He could have said, this is not big enough. This could not be. He said, this is not even enough for me to eat, much less 5,000 plus people. But it's not how big yours is. It's not how much you have. It's who has it. Whose hands are on it. And so once the topic came out about the little pot of oil, she could have talked about how little it was. She could have spent her time talking about what she no longer has, what she used to have, how well she used to have it. She could have spent her time doing that. She could have spent her time talking to the man of God, I wished I had more. If I just had more, I could probably do something for the Lord. My situation probably could turn around if I just had more. No, if you're not using what you got, you probably won't be doing much better if you had more. Amen. So we find that's the topic. Little is much when God is in it. God is looking for somebody that'll be little. God's looking for somebody that'll recognize, I don't have much, but here it is, God, you can have it all. Amen. Her problem was that her little had got bigger than she was. Y'all have to let that sink in just a little bit. Her problem was that little pot of oil had got bigger than she was, because she looked at that as insufficient. She looked at that as there's no way that can fix my problem. She let that little get bigger than she was. But anyway, the man of God says to her, here's what I want you to do. Verse 3, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Look at this statement. Borrow not a few. In other words, get everyone you can find. Get everything you can find, a vessel, an empty vessel that you can find. Get everything. Amen. Sometimes what you need, you don't have. You need to borrow it. Sometimes you don't know what you need to do. You need to borrow. You need to have family and friends that can loan you some things that'll help you in that situation. He said, don't get a few, get all you can find and make sure they're empty. God has a specialty of filling empty vessels. The oil increased, we're going to find out in a moment, but the vessels never increased. If she only borrowed 20, let's just throw that number out there so we can get a hold of it. If she only borrowed 20, it was 20 when she started. It was 20 when she was done. The thing that expanded miraculously, Brother Carroll, was the oil. And if she had only got 20, there would have been enough oil plenty to fill the 20. But had she got 100, the same pot would have filled the 100. If she would have borrowed 1,000, had there been 1,000, the same pot could have filled 1,000. Amen. But that's why she got everyone that she could find, everything that she could find. Amen. And she began to pour, and as she poured, the oil just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And when she's pouring out, in verse number 6, she's standing, the sons are bringing her these vessels, and she's pouring them full, and when they're filled, she moves them aside, gets the next one, pours, and it gets full, and moves it aside until she filled, Brother Scott, all the vessels. Now watch this now. Her faith was not one that was made by looking back. Oh, I see how it's doing it now. I'm going to go now and get the vessels. Oh, I see how God works now. I'm going to go now and give everything I've got, because now I look back and say, no, she had to make her obedient decision, her faith on the front end, just because of God's man said, go get the empty vessels, borrow not a few, and start pouring out and watch God work. And she did. What if she hadn't? That's the gist of the message. What if she hadn't? What if she lingered and said, it's a foolishness. There's nothing in that little jug of oil to do all that I need. My life's a wreck. My husband's dead. My children on the verge of becoming slaves. My life's a wreck. What can that little flask of oil do for me? She could have lingered. She could have looked at it with doubt and thought, man, Elisha, I thought you was going to give me the quick fix. I thought you was going to tell me what I needed to hear. But now you telling me to do something that sounds absurd and foolish? There's not enough oil in that pot to even fill that pot, much less to fill others. But you know what she did? She was obedient. And she did what God said. Amen. And look what happened. She began to pour out, and those vessels were filled one at a time just until there wasn't any more left. There was not another. She said, is there any more vessels? Bring me some more vessels. Bring some more vessels. She said, this oil is not running out. And she just kept filling and pouring and filling and pouring and filling and pouring. What if their son would have said, Mom, that's all the vessels. You didn't get but five or six because you didn't believe it was going to work. And when she saw that and saw what God was doing, she would have said, oh my. Oh, I wished I'd have given it all. I wished I'd have found every vessel I could find. I wished I could have given God something empty as much as possible for God to fill. There's only two possibilities. You're either going to be glad you did, or wished you had. Your life is under your control and your decisions and your direction. And you're either going to come to the end and you're going to look back. She's looking back and she's seeing all of those vessels filled with that oil. And I no doubt in her heart she said, I'm glad I searched diligently. I'm glad I looked and looked and looked, and I'm glad I gave God everything I could find for him to fill. But what if she'd have looked back and thought, I didn't really believe it. I didn't think it was ever going to work, and so I just really didn't get but just a few. She's going to be living now with, oh, I wished I had of what God could have done if I'd have gave him more. What God could have done. And it didn't, listen, not a vessel more. We need moms that'll do that. Give God everything you've got. Don't leave nothing empty. The devil won't leave it empty. He'll fill it with something. Amen. Don't leave nothing empty in your life. Give God your everything. Moms, your children needs it. They don't just deserve it, they need it. Nobody can be the influence in the home like a mama. I don't care how hard that people try. There are no replacements for mama. There just isn't. Amen. That's exactly right. And of course, some of us in here, how many in here is your mom's already gone? Look here, look at the hands. Our mom's already crossed over. Mom's already gone from this world. I guarantee behind those hands is this right here. Boy, I wish she was here today. I'd sure like to hug her neck. Boy, what I would love to do this morning. Would love to pick up that phone. I still remember the phone number, amazingly. It just come to me. 862-4960. I ain't thought of that number in years. I ought to call it and see what's on the other end. Boy, I'd love to be able to call Mama today. When I went through the funeral line the other night, I told those girls, I said, ain't nobody going to take a place of Mama. That's an empty spot that will never be filled. But moms, you are still here. You are still alive, and you've still got children. Listen, don't lead them astray. Lead them in the right direction. One of the hardest things you'll ever do, moms, listen to me. One of the hardest things, God give this to me this morning, early, even before daylight, God give this to me. The most difficult thing that you'll ever do in your life as a mother is try to get your children to be what you are not. That's right. That's true. Amen. If you as a mother, listen, moms, we're almost done right here. If you as a mom already would say, I don't want my daughter or my son to do what I'm doing. I don't want them to talk like I'm talking. I don't want them to go where I go. I don't want them to participate in things that I'm participating in. Guess what? If you don't change and be the example, guess what the statistics are? The statistics are against them going differently from you. Monkey see, monkey do. Emmy's heard that statement before. You can tell them to you're blue in the face. Don't smoke that. Don't drink that. Don't talk like that. Don't run around with this crowd. Don't go to those wicked places. You can tell them that till you pass out. But you know what they're going to listen or what they're going to look at and what they're going to be led by? They're going to watch you drive out the driveway knowing where you're going. They're going to listen to you talk. They're going to listen to your music. They're going to watch your habits. Amen. And instead of doing what you say to do or not do, they're going to go off of what they're seeing. Even when kids are growing up, listen, when kids are growing up and they see mom and the daddies that have various addictions and whatnot, they swear all of their youth, I ain't going to be like daddy. I ain't no way I'm going to be like mama. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to go that. I'm not going to be on drugs. I'm not going to drink Miller Low Life and Bud Stupid. I'm not going to do that. I remember when I was little how I had such a hatred toward alcohol. Never drank a drop of it at that point. But the older I got, Russ Scott, and started running around with the crowd that was doing it, and then they'll shame you. You know, no, I don't want none of that. I don't like that, whatever. And they'll shame you, oh, you little goody two-shoe or whatever. The next thing you know, I was doing what I thought I never would do. You cannot improve on being an example. Education will never take priority over an example. Be an example. If you don't want them to do it, you don't do it. Hey, moms, don't you think that's good advice? If it's wrong for Junior and Sissy, it's wrong for you. Don't tell them, listen, don't tell them, don't do that now. That's nasty. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Don't do that. That's nasty. That'll hurt you. That'll eat your guts out or whatever. You know what they're going to say? Mom, why are you doing it? Dad, why are you doing it? And listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, our children need help. This world is after them, and you would have to be blind as a bat to not see that. This world is after your children. It's after your grandchildren. Oh, it's not after them to promote them and make them big and famous and rich and all of that. No, it wants them. They want to make slaves out of them, as in our text. They want to make slaves out of them. And that's why I preach hard against sin. And that's why I preach to young people, because I have a heart for them. I know where this world's going to take them. If they're starting to go in a worldly direction, I know where it's going to take them. I know the direction. I know the decisions you're going to make. I'm not a prophet. I don't see out in the future. But I know there's patterns. When I see you doing like I did, and I knew the stages and the steps of that, I know where you're going. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I'm preaching my heart this morning. Amen. I'm preaching my heart this morning. Some of you in trouble this morning. Some of you in trouble this morning. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because of the steps you're taking. Steps is involved in direction. All I have to do is look at the steps you're taking. I mean, you don't have to wonder where I'm going if you watch my steps. Everybody knows that of the direction I'm going, because you're watching one step at a time. Amen. And listen, you know what's so bad about it as well, Brother Ivan? In their heart, they know they're miserable. Oh, I'm going to preach right there a minute. Good night, have mercy. They know they're miserable. They know in their heart, I shouldn't be doing this. They know where their joy is, especially if they're saved and been right with God. They know where their joy is. Oh, why don't you get back there? What's taking your joy will never give you joy. Say amen right there, Preacher Rackley. Amen. What is taking your joy and wiping that smile off your face and making you miserable? I want to tell you, it'll never give you joy. No matter how much you do it, how much you have of it, how much you like it, it'll never give you joy. Maybe if I had more of it, I'd be happy. No, you'll just be more empty, more miserable. Brother Cody, you and Brother Devin, testimonies to the fact. If y'all weren't here for opening Sunday school this morning, you dismissed it. And last Sunday, Brother Cody opened Sunday school. Got saved in January. One was a drug addict, and the other a drug dealer. And Brother Devin opened up this morning. Who would have ever thought, had you word that, Brother Devin? Who would have ever thought that an ex-convict and a, what else did you say? Ex-drug dealer would be standing in the pulpit opening Sunday school. Hey, glory be to God, I'm telling you. Amen. And he even said that he's got joy being a Christian that he never found with the drug life. Brother Cody, I've heard you say you couldn't live without it, and you get paid on Friday and be broke before Monday. Smoke it up, drink it up. Amen. Oh, it's a wasted life. You know what the life that makes sense? It's getting saved and serving God and living for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. May the Lord help us. But when it come there, when it come to the end there, that woman said, and the son said, Mom, there are no more vessels. She never said, well, oh, mercy, I wish we'd have got more. But in her heart, she said, in her heart, no doubt, we couldn't find no more. We give God everything we had. Woo! And not only did it meet the need presently, they lived off of it. Because the Bible said that oil stayed. That is, that oil endured. It wasn't just a present miracle. Whoa! It wasn't just a right now intervention. But every day they'd get that little flask of oil out. Wasn't big enough to wet a biscuit, hardly. And probably they would pour it out, and they'd cook and do all their things. And the next day they'd do it again. And 20 years down the way, those sons said, hey, Mom, aren't you glad you obeyed God? Oh, the obedience of a mother, Miss Stacy, saved her children from slavery. Moms, if you'll be obedient to God and give God everything and go all the way, don't straddle the fence. Amen. Don't try to hold hands with the world and the devil and at the same time go with God. I want to tell you, friend, it'll not only help you now, but you'll be able to live off of it. They lived off of it. They paid the creditor off. They paid all their bills off. And not only did they do that, the Bible said they sold all the rest of it, paid everything off, and they still lived off of the oil because it stayed. It just kept continuing. They never had to go to the oil store. They never had to go to get replenished. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe me. Moms, you know what you need? You need to get God in your situation, whatever it is. Amen. 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 Moms, listen. A prodigal prevented is a lot better than a prodigal rescued. Don't take a chance. Listen, don't take a chance. I've told people standing in the birthing chambers in the hospital after shortly, just minutes after a baby's been born, and they've got everything cleaned up where I could go in. And you know what? I told those mama and that daddy, I said, either God or the devil will get your child. You won't be able to keep them, and they won't belong to themselves. They will serve a master somewhere, either God or the devil. Amen, that's right. Mama, please, I beg you, I am a prospect. I am an evidence of what it means for a mother to intervene in the child's life. I am a testimony of that. Mama never thought about my feelings. Do you think Mama cared about my feelings? Well, I'm not going to get involved in your business, son, because I don't want to hurt your little feelings. No, mama saw me going to hell, and she was willing to tango with the devil and everything else, buddy, to make sure that didn't happen. That's right. Mama was proactive. She saw her son headed to hell at a breakneck speed, and she got involved without asking me. Moms, don't worry about, I want my girl to be my pal and buddy. You better not worry about being their friend. You better be their parent. They need a parent more than they need a friend. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to preach all that long, but I couldn't help it. God's trying to help somebody. God's trying to save somebody from a disaster. Amen. Amen. And you've got to, listen, moms, if you've got some wayward children, and as I was, I ran away from home and all that. But I'm going to tell you, mama didn't give up. Mama didn't quit praying. Don't let the devil talk you out of being spiritual. You know what your child needs more than food on the table? They need a mama that can ring the prayer bells of heaven in their behalf. They need mamas that can say, not a vessel more. I couldn't have done more. I'd done all I could do. I couldn't have done more. Not a vessel more. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty to preach this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, speak to the moms, challenge them, stir them, work in their hearts, Lord, that, dear God, they would make it a commitment today. First, if they're not saved, that they'd get saved. Lord, if they are saved, that they would make a commitment today, not a vessel more. That's going to be my motto, not a vessel more. I couldn't have gotten more. I couldn't have done more. I've give God everything I could do. And God filled it with oil, the Holy Ghost. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, there's no doubt in my heart that you sent this message. Lord, there's young people in here needs to just go ahead and bring their little pot of oil to the altar and say, Lord, this is it. This is all I've got, and I'm going to make sure I give you plenty to fill. I'm going to give you plenty to fill. Though there's not a vessel more. I don't want to live my life and end it with regret. I'm going to end it with I'm glad I did instead of I wished I had. I pray you'd speak to hearts this morning to this invitation. In Jesus' name.